About a year ago, I think a year ago, January, we had a couple of folks come and share during, we did the month of prayer. We called it Fresh Air. And one of them was Mike Johnson from The Mission. And he came and shared about, you know, helping out. And I think he took it as a personal mission to try to recruit most of our church, because I think about half of us work for The Mission now, including Marty. So it's kind of funny, but which is a good thing. Great organization. But the other one we had was we had Forge Youth Mentoring were here with us, and Todd was here. And so he is back again, and it doesn't feel like it's been a year, but it has. And we're looking forward to continuing to develop our partnership with him. And bunch of stuff has happened over that time. You've been growing and stuff like that. So we're excited to have him here with us. And we've continued to work with him. One of my roles is as a coach. I don't do the mentoring thing, not because I don't want to, but just because I really felt like my role would be better served as a coach. So I actually help the mentors mentor kids. And it's really fun. So that's one opportunity we have. And he's going to mention a few others probably at the end there are. But it's just really good to see them moving in our community and growing. And we're thankful for Todd and his heart for the kids. And he brought Armando. Armando is on full-time staff with them now, and he's in the back. And also Hannah is here. She is a mentor, and she's going to be sharing a little bit later. So we're excited about that. So once again, this isn't a pitch to be a mentor, by the way. This is just Todd communicating his heart for seeing generations connected, and there are all kinds of ways to serve. And if it is, if it is a draw for you to be a mentor, that's awesome. But once again, don't take this as a sales pitch, and don't just go, oh, he's talking about mentoring, I'm out. Because this is something that can really help all of us grow as a body and as a community. So, Todd.
All right, thanks, man. Right. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Yeah, all right, you want me to leave that there? Or where? That's good. Sweet. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me here. And yeah, did I say anything about mentoring? He said it all, right? So, hey, thank you for the opportunity to be here, though. It's been fun. I mean, it's been an interesting year since we last, saw each other. It's been pretty crazy, obviously, with COVID and that. But it has been fun for us with Forge. We've just continued to grow. So not only do we have the chapters in Mattawa, Tri-Cities, and Yakima here, but we actually started in Maui, of all places. That's been pretty fun, even though I haven't been able to get there yet. But we've got a chapter that actually is just booming. They're doing great over there in Maui. And right now we're actually going to be starting a launch one here in Hermiston in the next month or so. So that's pretty cool. So we're just trying to continue to help get more kids the connection to adults that they're desperate for. And so it's been a fun road. So thanks for helping us out. We're glad to be working with you guys and getting the matches going here. We're looking forward to kind of building things up with your partnership with McKinley and other things. So, but here I want to talk this morning about just kind of what has really been pouring into me over the last number of months especially. I mean, I wanted to kind of share one of my favorite stories in the Bible, but I wanted to get us in the mindset of understanding the power of stories. And I really think that God wants us to listen to other people's stories. He wants us to spend time getting to know people so we can hear their stories and understand their situations and what they're going through and to better know how to help them, but then also to earn the right to be able to tell our story, which really is the story of God redeeming us and providing us with a life that is better than we could have found on our own, and is a life of salvation and joy and new beginnings and things like that. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're just talking about stories. And so I want you to think about this. We had those childhood stories maybe growing up. So I want you to think for a minute. What's your favorite childhood story that you heard as a kid? Okay, some of you guys are real close to that age versus some of us are much further away. Favorite story, give me one or two of you guys. Favorite story, come on, just say it. Jack and the Beanstalk, something out of the Bible, what? Princess Bride. I just saw something about that recently. I was watching a show, realized it was the guy that's Monty, oh, damn, I'm going to blow that. The guy that, I'm here to kill your, you killed my father, right? All that stuff. Sorry. Boy, butchered that one up. Okay. Any childhood story, though, like as a little kid, like a, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Where the wild things are. Wow, you guys, you got some really, those crazy looking drawings of, yeah. Okay, cool. There's all these different stories that we grew up with, and maybe it's the bedtime story that we remember most, that, you know, we'd, mom or dad would sit on the bed, and we'd listen to that cool thing, you know, and then we'd go to sleep and think about it and dream about it. But we were around stories a lot as a kid, and maybe, though, that's kind of funny to think about, do you have a relative in your family who's a great storyteller? You know, is there someone who's like the storyteller, some aunt or uncle or crazy grandfather or something like that? It was funny because last service I shared about my great uncle, Don, who just, I love this guy. And he just, you know, it was so much fun to be around him. And he always seemed to have a good story. Well, he told us this story of one time that he was helping, you know, move someone. And he lived in Seattle. And so he was helping these people move, and so they're hauling all their stuff and vehicles, you know, trucks and stuff like that. And they actually, in the middle of Seattle in an intersection, dropped a bed. I mean, a bed fell out of the truck, and in the middle of the intersection, you can imagine the chaos that would ensue. Well, my dad texted me because he's like, hey, listen, we watched the sermon on Facebook or whatever, and you forgot one thing. It was a hide a bed, and it popped open in the middle of the intersection there. So you imagine the chaos. Well, thanks, Dad, for adding to that, you know. But so it's like all this stuff that you always tell these stories, you go, no, come on, man, you serious? You know, no way. But they did happen. He was believable. Always a lot of fun. So we've kind of had those storytellers maybe in our lives. Maybe you're the one that tells stories. But what's interesting is we live in this world that is all about the story. It's a story world. I mean, it's about the greatest movies and the greatest books that are out there. Even the commercials. You think about, you know, commercials of today. It's different than it was in the past. I love watching like 1950s or 1960s commercial. You know, it's like, here is the product. This product does this. You should take this product so it will help you, the product. You know, and that was a commercial in the 1950s or 60s. Today, now, it's this great story about how my life was changed because I took this allergy pill. You know, I mean, it's just crazy that it's nothing, you know, but it's all about trying to help us experience something. That's the why they do that, is so we can experience the product and realize it can become part of our story of life. Jesus told stories. I mean, this Bible, right, this is a book of stories that God wanted us to know. But we see then in them the time of Jesus on the earth. And what did he do to communicate his point? He would tell stories. Why? I mean, he'd talk about things in the format of fishing or farming. Or woodworking or whatever. I mean, whatever it would be. And the purpose was, of course, for us to begin to understand that and relate to it and experience it and then really solidify. Ah, I get it. Yeah, now I understand what you're saying because it relates, like I see how it relates to my real life, right? The power of a story to communicate what we need to know. What I love is, you know, when you look at all the movies that are out there today and the great movies that we love, I love it because I think everyone just steals the Bible stories. They just don't know it. But they're stealing all the plots and the storylines are just what we've heard in the Bible. So think about it. I mean, it's good and evil. Always a battle between good and evil in so many of these movies. Well, hello. It's all about the message we know through the Bible. It's always a battle, the ultimate battle. Overcoming the obstacles that just seem like no way, it wasn't going to be able to happen. Yes, Rocky, he wins in the end. You know, one of the favorites of the old movies is like Rocky IV. You know, that was prime time for me, high school era, against the Russians. You know, you got to beat the Russian boxer. Rocky is victorious. You know, he overcame to stand up and win, you know, all this stuff. Overcoming is huge. Redemption. David and Goliath, the little guy against the big guy, right? I mean, all these movies that are the same stories of the Bible, they just twist them a little bit and make them look a little different. Things of unexpected hope and overcoming. Just awesome. But as we think about these stories, I want us to look for a minute, and I want you to be, today I want you to be thinking about what's your story? What's the story of the people around you, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people who live down the street, the people you can't stand, whatever it is. What's the story? Do you know it? And if not, do we need to know it? And what's your story? What does your life need to tell someone else? So as we look at the Bible, though, and we try to just, you know, boil this down, what does God want for us? I guess I just, in this day and age especially, with all the hatred and anger that's going on in our world, I always want to boil things down to the simplest point. Why are we here? And what the heck am I supposed to be about? And I don't want to waste time. I don't want my life to be a waste. What are we here for? So let's look at a couple of passages in the Bible that really lay out God's story and what's most important for us to understand is. So the first one, let's take a look at John chapter 17, verse 3. What is it that God wants us to focus on more than anything else? To know him. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So what if your life, all you did every second of the day, was just try to get to know Jesus better? What's going to come about from that? Your perspective is going to change. Your life will feel more meaningful and full because you understand the whole meaning to the existence of everything. You're going to feel hopeful and encouraged, empowered. The things you think, the things you say, the things you do will all be more important because you'll go, well, Jesus, what should I be doing on this? Okay, well, let me follow you. Let me follow your example because that seems to lead to life. So let's get to know Jesus, right? So that's the biggest thing at the beginning is like, just know him. Secondly, how about this? Let's look at Matthew 28. What else are we here for then? We've learned of Jesus' story as we get to know him. The second thing is you look in the middle of all this, verse 19 there says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why are we here? To know Jesus and to tell his story. That's it. That's it, right? I mean, isn't that what we're about? We get so caught up in collecting the latest things and spending time doing things that don't matter, like movies or just the hobbies we have and things like that, and we kind of just miss out on the whole purpose of our existence is just that. Not that we need to be some just boring old churchy guy, but because that's where life is found in us, for us too. So we all have a story, and I think God wants to be able to tell our story so that we can tell other people his story. And it's kind of interesting to think about, if your story was told. I think of like all the good movies that are out there, and I love a good story, right? I mean, the movie can have all the explosions and things like that, and that's funny and whatever else, but man, I want something that's got a good story, especially a real one. But I love this guy named Christopher Nolan, okay? And he's written some, crazy movies. So if you've ever seen Interstellar, I just totally lost the first one I had. It's where time travel, he's going into the dreams. Inception, the newest one that came out was Tenet. But before that was just probably one of my all-time favorites is Dunkirk. Okay, the movie about the story of Dunkirk, of how these British troops, 300,000-400,000 of them, stuck in France with the Nazi army breathing down on them, about to come in and just destroy them because they've got no escape. And so the British Empire, Britain just says, okay, everyone, get your boats and head over to the island or over to France and pick these guys up and bring back as many as you can. I mean, that's the story of Dunkirk. It's trying to save these truths. But this movie to me is so cool because it's got three things going on. Three stories are being told in this one story of Dunkirk. The first one is the pilots. A couple of airplane pilots who are British and what's going on in their world. It tells in that movie 1 hour of the pilot's life. 1 hour of that is going on the whole movie. At the same time, you're seeing these people from Britain take their boats, their home boats, just to where they go hang out, over to pick up these troops. That's one day. You see one day in their life. And at the same time, you're seeing 1 week in the life of these troops over in France and the desperation and the feelings that they're going through their mind. It's so cool because this guy, that Christopher Nolan, he twists your mind, okay? So go watch any of those movies. And if you go crazy because you're at the end of it, what just happened? I have no idea what was past, present, future. I don't know what's going on. Great. Just get mad at me all you want, but you'll have some fun trying to figure that stuff out. But I love it because it's like, okay, I got to figure this story out. Cool thing is, again, all these stories of the Bible, and that each of us has a story that just needs to be shared and listened to. And that's just beautiful. So how would Jesus tell your story in that? Well, I want to look at one story here in the Bible that I think just has stood out to me so much over, again, this last months, and as I look at it over the last years of my life, of what it's all about to exist here. And it's out of John chapter 4. And it's the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. I love what's going on here because Jesus teaches us so much in this little passage of how we are to share him with the world about using stories. And so let's look through this thing here. And here's what I'm doing. Again, I'm a weird guy, okay? I like old radio shows from like the 1950s and 60s. I actually just will listen to, especially as I go to bed, it's just kind of soothing to me. And it's just these, you know, goofy stories of Johnny Dollar or The Shadow or something like that, if any of you know any of that stuff. But they're just, you know, goofy 1950s things. But what's fun to me is I get to like just picture it. I get to visualize it. I get to create it. Today is all about video. Everything's in front of you. I'm going to challenge you as I read this to actually close your eyes. Just don't fall asleep, okay? As you're hearing some of these stories of the Bible, just close your eyes and see it happen. See what's going on here and experience it for yourself as if you were there. So here's this story. John chapter 4. Got to get the right page. It turned on me. All right. So Jesus is on the road, and he's going through this town of Samaria, even though he didn't have to. But he chose to because he seems to always have a plan, right? So here we go. John 4, chapter, or verse 4. It says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and if he'd have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become to him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me the water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. Okay, so what's interesting in this is knowing what's going on really here. And again, it's so hard for us sometimes as, you know, Americans to understand the context of what's happening. So I challenge you this. There's a, you know, there's a lot of commentary, Bible commentaries out there. One of them I look at is Matthew Henry. And you can read pages and pages and pages on the verses I just read to you about what is happening. It's really cool. It brings it to life in such a different level. But this little conversation here is kind of a little bit of an argument, almost. She's kind of antagonizing him because he's not supposed to be talking to her. He's a Jew. They're Samaritans. Samaritans are like the rejects. They were the ones that kind of fair-weather Jews. When it's good, they're claiming to be a Jew, and when things would go bad, oh, we're not Jews. But just, you know, they really didn't have a faith. And so anyway, this big conversation is going on, and he's trying to help her see her need and the joys of eternal life, her need of salvation, that. So he goes on to say some funny stuff here, okay? This is interesting. So then he says, go call your husband and come back. And she answers him, you know, well, I have no husband, she replied. And then Jesus said to her, and this is just beautiful. I love just again how he does this. Yeah, you're right. You say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you with now is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. We say, yeah, I'll get it. When he comes, he'll tell us all about this. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. I am the guy. You're talking about a Messiah? I am that Messiah. What's really interesting in this scripture, Jesus is telling us how we need to communicate to this world around us who doesn't understand or know Jesus and may not even feel like they want to. In fact, they may mock us for it. So Jesus starts this conversation by talking about water, by turning it into eternal water, helping bring the conversation to spiritual things. She's antagonizing the whole time, and he doesn't bite. You know, our political world these days, right? You can't say anything about someone screaming at you, and it's real easy to get right back in that battle and go back and back and back and back and forth. Jesus didn't fall for that. He just is going, yeah. And he turned the subject to the husband because he wanted her to understand her need for Jesus and not walk away from that. And so what does she say? Well, I don't have a husband. And his response is not at a mockery or condemnation, you know? He's like, yeah, I know. I know. In fact, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with, he's just living with right now. He's not even your husband. And you're right. Yeah, you said that. He's valuing her. He's loving her, and he's seeing past the stuff. Guys, we get frustrated at this non-Christian world because, oh, they're so just doing these evil things. They're only doing that stuff because they don't know Jesus. They don't know. So don't worry about that. So he wasn't worried about these things. He wanted her to know the truth. And finally, as this conversation went, she starts to realize, this guy gets it. He understands me. First off, I like listening to this guy because he valued and loved me. He didn't condemn me. And then he's telling me something amazing that I just can't help. You know, this is real. He says he's the Messiah. I think he actually is. So what does she do when this happens? You read later in the chapter, and I want you to go home and do that. Read the rest of chapter 4 and chapter 4 of John. She goes back and just starts telling everybody. She leaves the water bottle. She forgets what she's doing. She's so amazed and excited about this conversation. She goes back and starts telling, guys, you got to come over here. This guy knows everything about me. He's telling me everything about myself. He gets me. And he didn't hate me. He didn't mock me. He tells me about life, how life could be so much better. You got to come check this out. And the friends are just like, this sounds amazing. Because you see the reaction is, wow, we believe. We're believing what you're telling us is true. This guy must be the Messiah. This is great. But then even further, they're so excited that they come back to him and they start talking to Jesus. And then they say, look, we heard you talk about this and we believed you. But now we're hearing him firsthand. He's right here in front of us. He is the Messiah. And all these people come to Christ because he was willing to ask her to tell her story. What's going on in her world? Who is she? And then as she's telling her story, he starts to tell his story, which is really, like all of us, again, the stories of redemption. It will draw people to seeing God. So in his story, he gets her attention to be focused on God. And from that, she realizes this is life. That's why we're here. We're here to know Jesus so every bit of our life is filled with him and we have joy and we have purpose and we have understanding. And then he wants us just to go tell people. And the way we're going to do that is to be with them and hear what they're saying. Hannah, come on up here. I'm going to bring Hannah up here. You guys know Hannah real well because she's part of your church and she's been a mentor in our program for 4 or 5 months. Yeah, you can give her a hand. No standing ovation? Come on, people. Just kidding. All right, Hannah has just been doing a great job of this, of living her story in front of her mentee, and through that, being able to hear her mentee's story and then share further about what that is. So she said some really cool things. So tell me a little bit about the mentoring match you're with Jenna. Her name is Genevieve, but she goes by Jenna. And tell me a little bit about what that's been like this number of months.
All right. Well, I met her about 5 months ago, so hasn't been a lot of time, but in that time, I have seen her once a month for at least an hour, or once a week for at least an hour, I mean. And that's been really awesome. We'll just get together, talk, eat together, paint together, sometimes here. Sometimes we're just in my car because everything's close. It's been really awesome. We got to celebrate her 13th birthday in January. So that was very cool.
That's very cool. That's awesome. It's been fun to watch. You know, it's fun for me to watch all these relationships build. And I got a mentee that I mentor with. And so it's, you know, I see that lived out personally. And then I see it through these other mentors doing cool stuff. You had something that was really amazing that happened during Christmas time that, again, is just, it's where you were able to direct her to understanding God better. So tell me a little bit about that situation.
Yeah, well, around Christmas time, I was asking my mentee, you know, what her traditions were, what her family normally does around Christmas time, and what she believed the purpose of Christmas was. And she told me, well, I know that Christmas is about family. It's not about presents. It's just about being with family. But that was it. That was what she knew about Christmas. She didn't know the story, the nativity story about Jesus and kind of the reason for Christmas. And so I was able to come here when Nancy was here and we set up a little paint shop upstairs. And her and I got to just paint together, which was really nice. And I used that opportunity to just tell her about Christmas, and it just happened naturally in conversation. She wants to grow up and become a nurse. And, you know, when I was a kid, my family lived out on a farm. And so I had to help deliver my baby brother when we weren't close to the hospital. So, you know, just talking about, you know, the gift of life and what that is like, you know, at the beginning when a baby is born. And that led us to be able to talk about the day that Jesus was born. So
that's just awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Hannah, for all you're doing with her. That's just great. So, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you want to hear the full story or Hannah's whole story of her life, you got to talk to her about that. All right. So there you go. Cool. Thanks, Hannah. I want to bring it up because, again, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, it's paint and it's Christmas time. And she got to bring in the whole understanding of who is Jesus and to let her experience what that is and for her now to think that through. You know, we all have stories and they're going to be different, but God can use them. And I'll look at, you know, Armando, my teammate here. Armando has just been awesome for us. I mean, just a blessing to me and what's going on. He oversees all the Yakima and stuff like that, so he's kind of the guy that you contact directly. But he and I have completely opposite stories, you know? I mean, I grew up this churchy kid, man. My family went to church all the time. That's just what I grew up with. I didn't really rebel till my later years, so I just kind of went along. I believe it. Makes sense. I'm there, so I'm at church, and I participated in everything like that. Never did the really bad stuff. Didn't do drugs or alcohol, you know? And I just, that was kind of how I grew up. You know, and so I don't have this story of all these horrible things. I remember hearing this one comedian, Tim Hawkins, I think, and maybe who it was, like, ah, dang it, I can't tell a story about, you know, I wish I was addicted to crack, because then I could have told people, you know, how I got off crack to follow Jesus. You know, it's like, dang it, why can't my story have drugs in it or something like that? It doesn't have to. You know, Armando's story was much more challenging and painful and unbelievable how he overcame. I just kind of had it good. Well, guess what? I can tell that story to say, hey, I just want you guys to experience that. So I've had those conversations with youth going, I had it pretty good. I didn't have the desire to go party and get into the drug and stuff. But you know what? If I did do it, I probably would have been a mess because I probably would have got totally, you know, into a lot of trouble doing that stuff. And I just had the blessing of not. So you know what? You don't have to go down that path. You can choose to stay on a good path. So that's my story. I can't change it. That's who I am. Others of you might say, man, I messed up royally in all these different ways. But guess what? In both of our situations, guys, it's not about us. It was about how God got us into the right place and how God corrected. That's what people need to hear. And so that's why you're here. So God wants to tell your story. Who is it to? How are you going to, you know, get that going? Will you go and make a difference? Now more than ever, people need to hear it. The last couple things before I just kind of close in prayer is this. Don't feel intimidated ever, okay? I want you to hear that. Too many Christians, I'm always trying to get mentors. And I look in the crowds and I talk with people and it's always, well, I don't know that I could ever do that. I'm blank. I'm not as good a Christian as I should be. I'm not as good as husband or wife as I should be, or parent. Don't know enough about the Bible. I don't blah, blah, blah because I did blah, blah, blah. I don't care. And the kids we work with and the people that are out there in this world that are lost do not care about your failings other than they want to know you actually had some. That you actually can own up and humbly tell them, hey, I don't have it all together. It's God that's the key for me. They want your authenticity. If you're real, they'll listen. If you're not, walk away. They don't want your plastic fake life. So God wants to use you no matter what, because he can redeem your story. And the other thing is this. When you're talking to people, and this is just like just a little side note, it's just been funny to me to see over the years, and as we tell our mentors all the time, it's like, you know, if you feel like maybe you should tell someone about God, or, you know, you want to kind of direct that or ask them, do they know Jesus or something like that, you know, the easiest thing to do is simply ask. Hey, we've been friends. We've talked a lot about this stuff. I just wanted to tell you something about my faith and how it matters in this situation. Would it be okay if I shared that with you? If they say no, don't. If they say yes, you get to share it. And they've invited you to tell about Jesus. Again, we just think there's so many barriers and roadblocks to telling our story, the story of God. Meanwhile, no. Jesus went to that woman and respected and loved her and valued her. And by doing that, earned the right to tell his story. So get to know some people. Be around them. If you want to be a mentor or be in our program, I got all kinds of kids and families who would love to hear you listen, you know, have you listen to them and then tell a little bit about who you are. Let's pray. God, you tell so many stories in the Bible, and the most incredible part of it is they're all real. We know they're real. They're not fairy tales. They're real. They happen. There's historical proof. There's witnesses, all these things. And these stories can change us and bring us encouragement and excitement and empower us to go and tell the world about you. And thank you for giving us a story. It may not be the biggest, glamorous, craziest thing out there, but it's our story, and no one can argue with that. Help us, Lord, to listen to the people around us, their stories, so we can understand where they're coming from, what they're doing in their lives, what's going on, so we can see how to help them and how our stories match up and how your story, most importantly, will match up with their need. Use us, God, in amazing ways, because you will do the work. Thank you for everything you've given us, life that you've given us an opportunity to live. Go with us. Help us to go out in the world, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.